Discipline, scourges, trials, and rejection are tough words in our readings today. You might be thinking, I thought the gospel meant good news. This sounds more like bad news. If I wanted that, I could go through the daily news headlines. But as we read further, there is a promise of sonship and peaceful fruit, and finally reclining at table in the kingdom of God. So how do we get from those first tough words to the later sonship of God? Our readings warn us, not all are strong enough to enter that narrow gate that separates these two realities. We know all too well that life on this earth is wrought with difficulties. Some are clearly from the sinfulness of others, and that's tough. For example, a selfish thief might break into your home and rummage through your stuff and take what they please, leaving you without your rightful items. And maybe even more damaging and disturbing, as disturbing your peace of mind and sense of security. Or perhaps you might be unjustly slandered by being the brunt of vicious gossip. But then there are other hardships that just happen for seemingly no good reason. You might get cancer, have a storm destroy your home, or maybe lose a loved one to an untimely death. Maybe even smaller things like getting a flat tire on the way to Mass, slipping on the ads, or losing your car keys. It can seem like these challenges have no good reason for happening, and we look for reasons to explain them and try to avoid them from happening in the future. All these hardships can and often do change us for the better or worse. If we see them as evil and bad, our life can become a game of cat and mouse, and we do all we can to avoid these challenges. We are forever looking for ways to minimize our suffering, even to the point of wearing ourselves out with great anxiety and grief. The COVID event over the last couple of years comes to mind. All joy escapes us as we're focused on how our suffering is too great and the challenges unsurmountable. Depression sets in and hope is lost. This is not God's plan, but rather is the temptation from the evil one that sets you against yourself in this despair. So what is God's plan, then, you might ask? In our readings today, it said, God scourges every son he acknowledges, and that we are to endure our trials as discipline. If you're like me, I like the part of being God's son, but the scourging part seems a bit harsh, and I try to avoid it. Growing up in a family where I am number 11 of 14 kids, 12 brothers and one sister, my parents first had a boy and the next was a girl. Having decided boys were easier, they had 12 more boys. While my upbringing in this large family was likely different than many of yours, it only worked because my parents followed God's plan of scourging every son they acknowledged, and that one daughter too. I often tried not to be acknowledged quite so much, knowing that it deserved it. While I did not like it at the time, it did form me for the better. Through this discipline, I came to know the peaceful fruit of righteousness mentioned in our reading from Paul. I learned to avoid the bad and seek the good. While we have to be careful not to directly align parental discipline with God's discipline that is spoke about in our readings, they are similar. Parental discipline, when done well and balanced, corrects bad behavior. God's discipline is the trials of life and are more in response to sin, both personal and that of others in our society. While the hardships could be directly related to our behavior, like bad diet causing health issues, it might rather be the sins of others, like getting hit by a drunk driver. There is suffering in all cases, but we have a choice on how to approach our suffering, especially on the spiritual level. If we choose the good, we will gain from the trials in a real and positive way. In the case of parental correction, we can change our behavior and make better choices that are good for us in the long run. We can acknowledge our bad health has to do with our diet and make the challenging choices of changing our eating habits for the better good of our health, for ourselves and those who depend on us and care about us. The drunk driver example is often where we get most challenged. Our first thoughts might be getting even and making sure justice is done through big fines and jail time. While justice tempered by mercy cannot be ignored, there are greater spiritual realities to consider. Could it be the drunk driver is on a path that will lead him and others to hell? Through this tragedy, will take the opportunity to turn their life around if treated with compassion and mercy? Could your suffering change your outlook on what is important in life? How you respond to this great injustice is the way, in the way, how can you respond to this great injustice in the way Jesus responded to the injustice of his passion? Remember, life is short against eternity, and suffering, as hard as it is, can be meaningful if you let it. While we need to continue to right the wrongs of the world and seek justice for those afflicted unfairly by others, we need to keep in mind that one day we will die and the suffering will end. But our merciful response to suffering can train and strengthen us to enter the narrow way to heaven. Be sure you reflect on your sufferings and look for God in them and ask Him to help you understand how you can gain from them, at least spiritually. I would like to change gears here a bit and turn to our Gospels more directly regarding those who are not strong enough to enter that narrow way. Our Gospel is clear that it's not enough to know Jesus, as Jesus rejects many who say, "We ate and drank with you." It is like saying we came to Mass every Sunday and we did all the sacraments, so you have to let us into heaven. If that is your plan to do the minimum and assume it's good enough, you might find yourself very surprised when this life escapes you. While Mass and the sacraments are extremely important, they are only tools for you to live the life God is asking you to live. We are to be strengthened by participation in these things, and they should increase our longing for God and our care of our neighbors. At the end of Mass, we are sent out to change the world to be more Christ-like. We are to use our spiritual gifts given to us at baptism to engage our neighbors and community in whatever way God has gifted you. How we respond positively to our personal hardships and the trials of others will depend on how God has called you personally to be His witnesses in the world. He wants you to have a Christian response that is so full of love and concern that it draws others to want what you have, which should be a belief and confidence that God will overcome all the trials of this life and that His reward in heaven is worth all the suffering that gets thrown at us. We must remember to live with the joy of anticipating heaven by doing God's will. As our readings remind us, God allows some suffering now for the eternal glory that is to come. He did not spare His Son. And because He sees us as His sons and daughters, He will not spare us either. Because He has given us the spiritual gifts needed to endure hardships. In times of suffering, turn to Jesus in prayer, as it is the surest way of converting our pain into strength to enter the narrow gates. In conclusion, remember, as hard as discipline, scourges, trials, and rejection are, they do have meaning and purpose in our life. They can be approached with joy if you keep the end of heaven in mind. God often will not take these things away because they strengthen us to enter that narrow gate to heaven. God does give us each other, and that is why it's so important to be here together at Mass, to be in fellowship and relationship, so we're not alone in this journey through life. If we act like Christians of the promise of God, that being eternal life in heaven, then we will encourage and support each other and walk the trials of life together.